Meg Ramsay had followed the ropes with a week's wash, crossed her fingers that the rain that had threatened our day would bide off, and was back at her darg in the hoose, scraping carrots and neeps for the muckle black pot out of the sway that was heating out of the louping flames near full to the neck with water and chucking beans for the Sabbath roast. The skippy was skirping sat out of the pot, when Maisie Plunkett the basket of hen's eggies down in the kitchen table. "Far's my mither," the queenie speared. "Out at the byre feeding the new coffees." Normally, Sally Bruce would have been here, making the dinner-time broth for her man and her quine, and for Meg and Jock Dow, her unmarried grieve, and the o'erloon Dandy Davy, for walking to her fray's feather's wee craft ilkly day to earn some good well and some neeps fisting hillock. In return for his labour, Matthew Bruce would lend him his binder and other tools and gear when it was not. Young Matty Bruce wouldn't be home till next when his day was dean at Strathbogie College, when the dairy cart come back with team clean cans for the toon. The other feed men were quartered in the fair merbed near Han. The Bailey, well, Gilchrist, cycled doon the brae till his mither a mile away at the Ledrick Dam. Tarry MacPhail walked out of the neat park to a tied hoose at the foot of the long dyke. Fergie Dunlop's wee button Ben was giantest in Hillock Farmhouse. He didn't let to walk near his door. Dod Matheson's house was halfway atween the Ledrick Dam and the farm, just hour for the Troot Valley. The Bruces aye keep it a troot in their spring water to keep the valley clean. It wasna like Minnie's mither to be out of the house at dinner time. Dandy was 2 years older than Minnie, 14 years old. Steenhillock was his first fee, and he thought he was fair the money, doping down at the table with the likes of Jock Dow the grieve. He came into the kitchen close at Minnie's heels, humping a creel of fresh-cutted sticks. "Well, the broth belong, Maggie speared. My stomach's beginning to think my throat's been cutted. We're Heinehan with the ploughing, and Jock wants to ken fan to lead the horse back for their feed." "Half an hour at maist," quo' the maid, "for the mistress comes o'er for the byre." Neither of them had spoken 2 words to Minnie. Yon was queer tea. Usually Dandy would hae a joke or a laugh wi' her. Meg McGeer a bit of gossip should hear for the fishwife that trumpets round the farms on a Wednesday. It was like they didna ken fit to say to her, and there was nae need, because Da was going to be fine noo that Dr. Henderson had cried in by. "Am I wae upstairs to see Da," she told him, going into the lobby and onto the stairs, tucking the steps 2 at a time with her long buttoned boots. "Cotter bairns, Mick, young Barfoot, but nae Minnie. She was weel shod and weel clothed. Her Da was maister of a' the parks around. Nothing could harm her. The Bruces got things hopping round Stoonhillock. Things didna happen unless they planned them, and it didna fit in Minnie's plans that her Da would dee. Death couldn't be that coarse. He could hear anybody else about the place he wanted, even her mither, Sally, but nae her Da, nae him, anybody but him. Elke next she said her prayers like her father had told her. The big prayer noo, nae the little ane, though sometimes she said them bays, starting off wi' oor father and singing on to the little ane's prayer, "Noo I lay me doon to sleep." She stood out by her father's door, and though it wasna night, and she wasna dressed in her goon, and kneeling aside her bed, she whispered the words 3 times afore going in. "Thy will be done on earth as 'tis in heaven."